Okay, it's 7:30 on June 9th. This is a meeting of the Collinsville Historic District Commission. Don Tarnelli, chairman. Roll call. Present is Kent McCoy, Steve Vallette, Lori Elkins, myself, Jim Grant, and Jerry Waters. So that's enough for a quorum. Absent is Maureen and Janet. Let's see. I don't know who's what, but whoever... Who's a backup? Whatever the word is.
Alternate?
Alternate, yeah.
I think the two of them are alternates, aren't they?
I think I'm an alternate.
Okay.
All right, so we're all set on that. We've been through the roll call. Anyone from the public wish to have anything to say?
No, thank you. I'm just interested, have some vested interest in what's going on at number 25 Maple, so.
Well, that is the only new business agenda item. I see that they've cleared the bush so that we can all examine the porch in its glory. Why don't we go through the rest of the agenda items and hopefully Caleb Johnson will show up. Or we can... Yeah, let's do that first. See what happens. So old business, finalized inventory of Collinsville Historic District structures and the commission's role in preserving the historic integrity of such structures. I believe all that was left was final pictures.
Yeah, that's all done. So really what I need to do is figure out how we're all going to have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's going to be housed. So I sent an email to Lisa letting her know what the file size is. It's massive with all the pictures and stuff in it. So I'm trying to find out. I tried using the sharing technique through my 365, but it's not sharing access to anyone. So I don't know if there's a way for us to have it on their drive, but then still have access to go in and do those quarterly updates. My assumption is probably not. Mm-hmm. So I've asked her to, like, is it possible to store it within Dropbox where we can edit the file, or is that just a view only for us? I don't know the answers to that. So I've given her a few different scenarios of what we could potentially do, because I don't think it's productive to take a new flash drive to them every quarter. So I really needed her guidance on what they have the ability to do and let her know that our intention is to continue to update that on a quarterly basis. So I'm just waiting to hear back from her and what they have the capacity to do with the file size. So I didn't give her all those details.
How long ago did you contact her?
I actually just did. So, yeah, I've been caught up at work trying to catch up since having hand surgery, so I'm a little behind on everything. Usually she's very quick to get back with me, though.
Okay.
So that really is where we are with it. I still need to get a small grouping of those properties to go back. I have through 2017 to 2025. So that's what I have from them on the property. So we need to start getting back before 2017 all the way through inception. So just giving them some chunks and saying, hey, can you get us from like inception to 2016 and just do it in small chunks. As those come, I'll just integrate those into the quarterly updates that we do with anything that we've reviewed over those 3 months and get it added in.
Okay.
This is something you're doing?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean,
okay.
Unless you want
does
me to
share mind?
Around. Because honestly, I mean, we have to wait for them to, we have to give them the properties, and then they'll go through their system and check it against what's in the computer. It's not something we can even go in and do. We just have to give them the list. Mm. So I figure if we just kind of tick at it, you know, every quarter, we can pretty much get it updated and, you know, maybe in another year.
I would say if I could help, I would, but I don't know that I could help.
Well, and it kind of depends on where it ends up being housed, right? Yeah. Like right now it's on my personal computer, so I mean, I don't think it makes sense to put it on a flash drive and kind of pass it around. phones and have you kind of access it that way. So that's why I kind of want to see, you know, from the town's perspective, what's the solution here, you know, to be able to house this but still have access. I mean, the alternative is we just house it with them and only update it once a year, but then that's just more laborious to try to do it that way. You know, a lot more time will take. So I guess I'll email you guys when she gets back with me after she's probably talked with whoever their technology person is with the file size.
Yeah, John's good. He's their tech guy.
And what our best solution is.
He's in their office, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, for this quarter, it's ready. I don't think it'll ever be done, right? Like, I mean, even though we get the historical information in, we're still going to always be going in and checking in on that stuff and deciding if we need fresh photos.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
But I do think we probably want to kind of isolate as we're looking at these coming in, say, for instance, this one here that has all of the damage. Like, do we want to get new photos after we've seen some rehabilitation done to properties? I would think we'd want to consistently do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to work on the alert letter to owners who need some work done so before the thing deteriorates, and I didn't do anything on that. Someday I will. Is that it for inventory? Any other comments, questions, concerns?
I could throw in about the pavilion. If it's not on there, but
do we have to vote to put this on the agenda?
Or probably.
Can we just do
never
it?
Never mind. Never mind.
No, you can go ahead.
Well, just to let you know, I don't know where it stands. We had the model out, and there's some naysayers in town that have got the Canton Main Street group pretty nervous, and they approached me about trying to redesign it to make it look older, and myself and Dennis said it's really not what we're supposed to do, and it's not the right approach. It's unfortunate that the negative responses are always louder than the positive responses.
Right.
It's just human nature. Mm-hmm. And for right now, it's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. You have to get Canton Main Street to say okay. We met with Don and I met with Kevin Whitkos, and he said he was going to get an engineer for us. The town would hire an engineer. I have not heard back from Kevin yet on that. I'm going to give him a call and see who he's got lined up. He said it would take a couple of weeks, and it's been a couple of weeks now. He's a little busy on budget too, so I don't want to, you know, bug him too much. But just to let you know, one thing I was going to recommend. If we, and I might be overstepping, but I was going to recommend that the town hire a contractor off their pre-approved list to oversee the pavilion, which again we don't have much to do with here, but also moving the train station, because they've got, I don't know if you guys, some of us are familiar with, you know, with Millennium Construction.
Yeah.
Really good guys. Town's really happy with them. They've worked on lots of town projects here. It's like no extras. They just get the job done.
And who is that, Jerry?
Millennium Construction. And a couple of their people live right in town.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be, they could stop in the morning, make sure things are going right, and then move on, you know, and it'd be, you take it over for the station building and the pavilion if we could get them both done at the same time, you know. Because the town's got to get somebody to oversee it besides us and, I guess, and somebody else on the pavilion. So it's.
How about making Millennium design build? Let them get the engineer.
Well, Kevin said he'd get an engineer.
Well, it might have.
I'm not so waiting. We could do that too. Yeah, but I have to talk to Kevin about that. Yeah. I know he's busy with
it. It puts it all under one responsibility. Puts it all under one.
It does. That's what I'm kind of trying to do, is get more projects under one responsibility and a company that I know we can really work with if we need to. And the town knows them, and everybody would be happy, I think, you know. So I haven't met with Kevin yet on that, and I don't know if anybody would object to me mentioning that they could also do the train station at the same time, kind of bundle them together.
But wasn't there a train station contractor who was going to do it for free?
But you need somebody to oversee it.
Oh, to oversee.
You got to coordinate it. You got to coordinate the move. You got to close it. Things have to, you know, it's not just the foundation guy, you know. I think the town would want to have somebody oversee it besides a volunteer contractor, somebody that would be responsible to the town. At least that's why I'm looking at it. So we'd still have the volunteers. It'd just be somebody overseeing it from the town perspective. I'm going to give Kevin a call and see if I can sit down with him and kind of move these along together and bundle them, if that's okay with people.
Yeah, there'll be more information on the train station in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I can vouch for Millennium. I was on the building committee for the Public Works building, and yeah, they were pretty amazing.
Oh, they're.
And I mean, one thing, for example, there's brick that sits at the lowest, like 2 feet, and I said, you know, that it just looks better around the base instead of having just like a shaft of brick. And the owner of it's like, yeah, you know, that does look better. And he put the brick all around the whole perimeter of it. Mm-hmm. No charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that I do.
With some of the contractors we've dealt with, it really makes you scratch your head sometimes when they do things like that.
Yeah.
You know, they just do it. It's like, okay. Thank you. But so we're going to hear more about the train station. Sorry, didn't mean to jump ahead.
Since we're on the train station, we might as well just scramble the agenda. I was going to update the letter to the selectmen. I made the decision to hold off on that until they get through the budget, because I presume that they wouldn't do anything, since when the budget isn't an issue, they haven't done anything. And with the budget being an issue, now they have a good reason not to do anything. In the meantime, there's an interesting development in a lady selectman, Sarah Faulkner, who's also a member of the Land Trust, has jumped on the idea to have the Land Trust take that building. And she had a meeting that included me and Jim, Land Trust people herself, Bob Ivansky, and Peter Reynolds, who's the chairman of the Permanent Building Committee and about to become a trustee of the Land Trust, as well as the former first selectman, Bob Bessel, and former selectman Bill Volowski, who's been also spearheading this. So we all met like two Sundays ago at her house and batted things around. So it turns out I had overheard the narrative of all this stuff, and some of the stuff that I heard from Mr. Witkos, and we all heard, because that's what I presented, because that's what he said, turns out not to be true. It turns out that the Fletchers have been paying taxes for that building. Not only are they paying taxes for that little triangular lot, the building is on their tax card, and they've been paying taxes on that. So it's actually questionable as to who owns the building at this point. If they're paying taxes on it, then they own it.
Is the whole building on their property? Or
no, it's half. It's like diagonally, yeah. Right down the middle.
Yeah.
And maybe it's 55, 45. Is that kind of what?
It's pretty darn close to him.
Yeah. So there was that, because Sarah Faulkner's idea was to try and convince the Fletchers to give the building and the property, I guess, to the land trust, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the program was really good in that they need storage space, they can have meetings there, and they would have outreach there. And also the land trust has no real identity. And this is kind of a win-win-win in that it would be a, it saved the building. It would be kind of a noteworthy building. It would give the land trust a big presence, and they could have activities. You know, plus the one thing I always didn't like about this is, well, you preserve the building, but for what? And I didn't want to just have like another dusty old collection of grandpa's garage stuff in there that nobody goes to. And, so that all makes sense. The she has to, well, she's kind of a force of nature, but she has to talk the land trust into doing this, and the land trust is largely older gentlemen who are volunteers, and they're not really well financed. And well, you met, you know, Bob Evanski.
Yeah, sure.
You guys went, and I also went to the Smith Tree Farm barn. And the whole way back, I was pitching this idea to him. This is a summer, because it came up to me earlier in the spring, last spring. And I was pitching that to him. He's like, oh, you know, we got so many old buildings. And, you know, the purpose is just to save land. And now you're talking about more expenses and all that. So as a conclusion of that discussion, it did seem that, especially Bob Vessel, really said the whole two-part scheme of moving and saving it and then coming up with a use for it is flawed and doomed, and having a purpose made much more sense and made it much more viable. It was kind of ironic, because then Peter Reynolds pointed out, well, when you were first selectman, and you actually had the government funding to do this, that's exactly what you're planning on doing. To which he said, yes, but now I've changed my mind. So it was left that we would get back together, and Bill Volosky was going to reconnect with the fellow Will Sweeney at Evergreen Construction and see that that offer is still on the table. Also, what came from both Bill Volosky and particularly Bill Volosky is, insofar as the first selectman goes, you really can't count on him following through to do much. He said he would do things, but it's just not a priority. And obviously, facts speak for themselves.
Right.
So that's the update on that.
And then to win-win-win also alleviates the tax burden for the Fletchers.
Right.
They donate that to building in the property. So
mm-hmm. Well, the Fletchers have their own concern, and they also feel, apparently Sarah is good, she knows them very well, but they did go through a slew of negotiations with Bob Vessel and Bill Volosky, and they came to an agreement, and then it got pulled away, and then, you know, it's just, they don't know what's going on, and they don't necessarily agree. They're apparently kind of unique individuals. So they don't want a liability on their property, because, you know, that's, half of it's on their property, and if it's, I mean, it's leaning the other way.
Or kids get in and play around in there, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Anyhow, that's the update.
So right now, any movement on moving that building is kind of just on hold.
All right.
Yeah, which has been for,
yeah,
I don't know, 25 years, actually.
Mm-hmm. At least.
So that was that one. Collins Company redevelopment, I have nothing. Anyone else have anything?
No, I haven't heard anything in a long time.
I heard that they're starting the remediation stuff probably early summer, if not.
Hmm.
Soon.
I mean, that's not different from what they said all along.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the report that they gave at, was it planning and zoning? One of those meetings that I was at where they had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They're still chasing funding as well. They're expecting work sometime, summer.
Okay, well, so we move on to reviewing the minutes.
John, if I could just add one thing too. At the last meeting, I had promised I'd bring an update on the district mailer.
Oh.
And I actually did some work on it in the last couple of months. And let me pass this. I think you've seen it before, like a couple of years ago. This is an example of a district mailer from where? Frankfort, Kentucky. But I thought it was a good example of what we could do, and we just have to, you know, plug in our own text. Also, I reached out to Mary Dunn at State Historic Preservation Office, and because we are a local certified government, we can get a grant for the graphics design, printing, and mailing of this flyer. So I think that's good news, because when Bob Bessel was first selectman, he said he could find money in the budget to at least pay for mailing. I don't think that's the case anymore, so we would just need to kind of edit this up, get it to a graphics designer, and then get it to Lori's mailing list, and we'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I can take a stab at, you know, I think the outline is really good, you know, that it's, yeah, what it is about living in a historic district, and you open it up and it's, you know, can I make changes, tell me about the process, are there funding opportunities, here's where we can push the, you know, residential historic tax credit, what is the value, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is a pretty good example. It would just need to be edited for our own use.
It's nice and
our own graphics.
It's nice and short.
Yeah. And this could just go in an envelope and go to everybody on our list. Mm-hmm. And I think realtors should have it too. Yeah. So.
And maybe that's a way to get the realtors like in on sharing with us when properties are selling, so we can
right, so that they know too.
Yeah.
Were you in Frankfort, Kentucky?
So should we take this and maybe put our own ideas and see what our heads together and see what if there's way can
even for the edits this. To this,
not just edits, but maybe, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
or if you think the format is good the way it is, we work with that.
Format's good, right. We just put our own content in. I'm happy to take a stab at that and present it at our next meeting.
Sure.
And then the graphics. Do we know any graphics designers? You're not one, Lori, are you?
No.
I play
one.
Well, that could work.
I have a daughter who's.
Oh, that's good. Right. That's right.
So we can see if.
Yeah, she might be willing to.
She might be willing to give me a snappy, sarcastic answer.
Yeah.
My son-in-law does graphics for The Walking Dead, but I don't think we probably don't want that in here. You know.
I actually think one of the women on the back row of my yoga class is a graphic designer over in New Hartford, so I can double check that
out.
As well.
Yeah,
I'll
see about Rachel.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers the million pages or million books, T-shirts, she did those.
Which T-shirt was it?
A few years ago, there was a library campaign to read a million books or a million pages or something. And there's t-shirts and, you know, all the t-shirts for her boyfriend's band, which is called Ruby Left Step. What other things? I just saw something for like Cornwall Music Festivals, a poster.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would be perfect because she could help us with it, and then we'd actually get to pay her for her work. Imagine that through the state. So that's a great idea.
My job sign.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll update. See if she can do that.
Maybe I could work on the text and get it to her before the next meeting, and then she could do a quick layout. You could look at it next meeting. Good.
And the town's got plenty of photos.
Yeah. And we do too from all the pictures we've taken.
They might have higher resolution stuff though that they've got, you know, for the website and stuff.
Yeah.
How about doing the minutes? And then we'll go to Caleb Johnson's application. So one thing about the minutes, item two, application 2602, 19 Maple Avenue, repair of front and side porches. So that application was approved with the stipulation that it be observed. Adam Silverman, the work had been done by the time the application was done. He broke it out into two parts. I had had conversations with him, and I told him that the repair work wouldn't require a hearing, but our communication was such that the replacing of window panes, so he has cracked glass, and he said he was replacing the windows. So I told him the windows replacement would have to go in front of a hearing, but the porch repair he could take care of. The language in his application was such that he said that it would be done with synthetic materials. He was trying to put it off, but the contractor had an opening because someone canceled, and they came and did it. So I called him after the meeting and told him what the stipulation was. And he said, well, this is awkward because it's already done. So I went over there and looked at it, and it is done, and it's fine. Okay. It's actually very well done. And the synthetic material was basically either fiberglass putty or Bondo or something. So, and it's painted out. And if you're up close looking really carefully, you can see it's kind of filled in, and it doesn't have wood grain on it, but it certainly...
But from the street,
from the street, it's fine. I mean, this is actually repair pictures of my porch, and it's just like places like this where the end grain had deteriorated. Yeah. They just filled it with putty and painted it over.
That's not a problem. That's fine.
So that's, I wrote a quick letter so that it wouldn't be like the place that sold, and it was, it's never closed out 25 years later.
Right.
So that's over and done with.
That probably a copy of your letter should go with the application in the file so that we know we've got closure on that stipulation.
It was, I gave a copy to Lisa and a copy to Adam Silverman, I think. That said, any other comments on the minutes?
The minutes look good for me, from my perspective.
Did anybody get that note that I sent out about item three under other business, that House bill? And then we were concerned about turning over review to the local zoning commission for that. House bill 5508. Did you get this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was killed.
It died.
It died.
It died.
They got so much negative feedback about doing that.
Yeah. One of the things that I didn't realize in there that was, there was going to be a requirement to broadcast public, all public hearings online. We haven't been doing that.
We were just talking about that when that was supposed to go into effect.
Yeah, it'd be you.
Yeah. You want to have that changed?
Yes. So the, under old business item one, once you get past the bold, inventory is complete. Janet Downey, I'm going to change that to Lori Elkins.
What item was that, Tom?
On this back page, old business, number one.
Okay.
Yeah, just change it to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Janet Downey will not maintain that.
Especially since she wasn't at the meeting, that was kind of an impossibility. So.
Well, you could always assign it to her, whether or not being here.
That's what happens when you're not here. That's
what happens when you're
not here.
Okay.
And Jim was bringing up about that bill that was for the Superior Court, where if this department, if this committee rejected something, they could go to the Zoning Board of Appeals. That was taken out. That didn't pass. But it was also in there that, you know, broadcasting all these meetings and stuff, and I don't know when that was supposed to take effect. And I think that was in the bill that was passed. But that's up to the town. It's not up to us to set it up. It's Nathaniel or Neil or somebody. So.
And I thought I heard at one of the other town meetings that we had that the issue with, like, some of the pushback around that is if someone from the town is not available to attend that meeting to be able to record it, and it's been promoted as a hybrid meeting, the meeting has to be canceled.
Mm-hmm. I would assume so.
Yeah,
because it's a public notice.
Right. And I think that was the concern of making sure that they could always have a person available.
That's what the town has to do.
Yeah.
They do that for ZBA. They're always broadcast. I don't know why this one's not. But that's, again, that's up to the town. But I guess it's up to us to be in compliance, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Motion?
Move to accept the minutes as revised.
Second?
Second.
Vote.
Aye.
All right, well, the only business left then is application 2604, 25 Maple Avenue, new roof and repair front porch, Royal Investments LLC, owner applicant.
2605.
Hmm?
Application 2605.
2604, yeah.
I got 05 on mine.
I've got 05 on the application form.
Oh, maybe Lisa touched.
I have 06 on the agenda. Well, let's go by the application form.
05.
So that'd be 2605. Caleb Johnson isn't here.
Yeah.
This application did come in front of me in advance. With the question from Lisa, does this need to have a hearing? And so I journeyed all the way down the road and looked at the condition of the structure, which I would call it collapsed. And so I wrote back to Caleb Johnson that technically, by the language, that you're repairing, that is allowed, but considering the deterioration of the structure, there's a wide range of what you consider a repair to be, and your repair might be different than ours. And more than likely, there's going to be surprises as they begin to start with work, and these things can spiral out of control pretty quickly. So I thought it'd be good for him to come here so that we could have a heart-to-heart about what he intends to do and what he might do should it turn out to be more than he thought. And apparently...
Is he going to live there?
I don't know. It was a very brief conversation, and apparently I didn't get my point across, or... I said, look, just your application's in. Come to the hearing, and...
I know. It's the owner's name, Royal Investments, LLC.
Has he had a contractor look at it yet?
He said he had a contractor. He had someone lined up to do the work. They have started to the extent that there is a dumpster on the property, and the overgrown bush is not in front of the deteriorated porch. And then there's, I guess we all got these pictures. So.
Looks to me like all the parts and pieces, though, are still there.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's just the whole thing has sunk.
Yeah.
So if they do the structural work to get the porch level again, they should be able to just reinstall everything that's already there.
Some will be deteriorated, but a lot of it can probably be cleaned up and reused.
I would say a lot of it can be.
Yeah.
Think the only part that really is, it looks like the collapse is confined to that really one end of the porch.
One end, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
not the total collapse.
No, and the structural part that's gone can be replaced and covered over.
Right. And the visible stuff seems to be all there. It could be scraped and painted, reinstalled.
And that porch, we moved in at 69. When we moved in, the house had asbestos shingle siding.
Oh, wow.
This siding was added after we moved in, somewhat 70s or maybe 80s. But the owners at the time were the Cromack family. And the husband died a few years ago. The wife died just a few months ago. But she told us that the porch was actually a Sears Roebuck kit. A big box of parts, kind of a pre-assembled porch. And so that's kind of so that's probably around the turn of the century when that was put on, because obviously it's a Greek revival design. You see that that's from before the bush grew up and did it.
The parts look good. Me too was in the application he refers specifically to the porch, but then there are photographs of the barn and a pilaster that's kind of peeling off the house, and I didn't know why those were in there if this is about porch repair.
In the bulkhead.
Yeah.
We have a picture of a bulkhead.
Leaves all around it.
Yeah.
So maybe this is an application that we approved with a lot of stipulations, that when we hear repair, here's what we mean.
Do we want to punt this a month and have him come here and explain what he's planning on?
Well, maybe.
I would say.
Or a letter explaining. Something in writing would even be better, so we can attach it to the application.
That's,
so we don't have to adjudicate this time. We can go 30 days out and still be within a 65-day window. So we do not have to move on it tonight.
But if he's working, we have to.
I would like to see him be able to continue, but certainly with a stipulation that he explain the extent of what he's doing and have some sort of plan B.
I'd be uncomfortable approving this without additional
information. Oh, yeah, no, there would have to be stipulations.
We can deny it without prejudice. deny it without prejudice for insufficient supporting data.
Means that he has to reapply. We're denying it, but he can reapply with the additional information. We're not outside the 65-day window, so we don't have to do that. We don't want to. We can just postpone it a month to get the additional information, and he doesn't have to do a new application. Six and one half dozen or the other. Yeah. It really doesn't matter.
But we could stop him. We would stop him from working on the porch. He could work on the rest of the house.
Well, he shouldn't be working on it either way, since it hasn't been approved.
But if he's working inside the house.
Yeah, which is fine.
That's right, so he could still, we wouldn't be holding him up completely.
Right. It would be good to have more information.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to write a book of stipulations to cover this.
And that's really incumbent upon him to provide the information to us, not us to say, this is what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what's going on with the barn?
Right.
It's going to fall down on Jim's land.
Well, I think we have to make sure that he understands what pieces need to remain intact when he's doing the repairs. I mean, none of that is even indicated.
Okay, so let's... The application is insufficient, or insufficient information?
I don't think any of our forms say that they have to come in, do they?
No, we approved.
They don't have to, but in something this extensive, I think it's a good idea that they do. Explain stuff, but they're not required to.
Yeah, especially when the explanation is five words long. Yeah. And that's not enough to really describe what they intend to do. So are we saying deny without prejudice? Is that the...
We'll have to take a motion and vote. So work can begin within... interior, and then specifically on the porch. Somebody put together a phrase better than I can think of right now that concisely describes what we want to see.
We want to do an explanation on what he plans on using for materials, what the finished product is going to look like.
Existing elements will be retained and reused?
Because the whole thing has to come off.
Yeah.
He said in the phone conversation that the contract... Yeah, I know. The contractor said he could just jack it up and leave it in place.
That corner column.
No, I mean, I brought pictures from my porch just showing, I started with trying to fix a little bit of rot, and it turned out there was a lot of rot, and it got quickly out of hand, and
I did the same on mine.
Yeah, I could see all that happening.
Jack it up.
I want to get the wording better than what I'm doing. Explanation of intended process.
Mm-hmm. Materials and final solution.
Right. Extent of existing materials to be retained and reused. I mean, it looks to me that it's a structural issue. It's the piers supporting it that have given out. The whole thing is just falling. It can be jacked back up and then renailed.
Maybe.
Scraped, painted.
Maybe.
Once
it starts moving like that, it gets a lot of water in it. And,
could be some rot.
Yeah. My porch had the little steel tube columns.
Yeah.
that were supporting it. Of course, they were all gone.
Yeah.
So I had to take those out and put in concrete footings. And probably has the same kind of deal.
Okay.
Should we put in there that we expect the new, the finished solution to
replicate
the existing conditions?
No, but well, that's for him to show what he wants to do. On this application, what I see is that that's what he's saying he's doing. He's going to rebuild it as is.
Okay.
If some of that stuff is rotted, then is he going to replace it or not? Or, I mean, I could see if you got 12 pieces of whatever trim and three of them are rotted and you re-space it so it's 9, is that going to make a difference? I don't think so. That should be acceptable, but, you know, we don't know. And if it's half of this Sears Roebuck stuff and half of it being pressure treated 2x2s,
right.
That's problematic. And actually, when you look at this, so the side railing is 2x4s and the rest of them are turned balusters.
Yeah.
So yeah, theoretically, you could say, well, I'm rebuilding that as is. But that's
not in the right spirit.
No. I mean, I was hoping he'd come here and we could come to understanding or something. I don't want to discourage him or slow him down. That's my...
Yeah, but we can't let him go on and just do what he wants to do without approval.
Okay.
He doesn't have to come in as long as he gives us enough information to work with. Barbara, we answer any of your questions?
I'm sorry.
Any questions?
We have a member of the public here. We should hear from her.
Yeah. Was your curiosity satisfied?
Well, I just was wondering overall what his intentions were for the house as a whole. So I would hope that he'd mow the lawn or the weeds. Somebody, the number of cigarettes, I'm going to throw out the cigarette in there and the whole house is going to go down. There's cigarettes on my front yard all the time.
Well, it does appear that he wants to resurrect it as is, but we need a lot more information from him on that.
Yeah.
So we're back to the original question then. Deny without prejudice, or do we just postpone it 30 days and give him a chance to provide additional information? Like I said, it really doesn't matter which way we go. Either way, it's not approved yet, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
I know you're concerned about the growth, the lawn, the unmowed lawn.
It looks pretty unsightly.
Well, it's a health hazard too, because you think of all of the snakes and the mice and the ticks and stuff that are in there, all going to the neighbors.
Okay, so they're doing. Take a lead and make a motion here? Or should we? I would say denied without prejudice or insufficient supporting data.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Otherwise, the stipulation gets too complicated.
Yeah.
Move that we accept the reject the application without prejudice for lack of information.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think you checked both boxes.
Right. The without without prejudice is a subcategory of denied. So you just check both of them. It's denied, but he can reapply.
And I'm sorry, he is the owner now? Because on the assessor page, still says Metava.
I sent him an email, I think, and he called. Yeah, I was talking to someone named Caleb Johnson. We kind of had the same conversation we've had here.
But it's a good question. Is he the owner of the property?
Oh.
He signed it as owner.
Yeah,
but is he?
He's the owner. Well, he's probably the owner of the LLC, too.
So he's the contractor doing it for his own property?
No, I don't.
We don't know.
No, that's not the contractor. They're both the owner, the LLC, and he signed it as owner.
Yeah.
Do we know how long ago?
So Caleb Johnson of Royal Investments is the owner of the property.
Still says Metava on this.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what he says. I mean, he signed it as owner.
Okay, all right.
But I remember when I saw the real estate listing, it's the LLC that bought it.
They bought it.
The LLC bought the property.
All right, but he is the LLC, apparently.
I assume.
Yeah. Okay. And you're saying it still shows the original owner, the old name on it? It might be the town hasn't caught up yet. It might be as simple as that.
It is, yeah, I'd look today, in fact, it's still on there.
Yeah.
In fact, they're actually an owner behind. It was sold a few months ago, and then sold again about a month later to this guy.
Okay.
At a $60,000 profit.
How do you know all this?
A Sunday real estate list. sold for
That's a pretty nice profit in a short amount of time.
Sold for. No, I can't remember. Some, I think it was sold for $239 originally and resold for $300.
Really?
In a month. The first buyer was an investor.
Well, he did pretty well.
Okay.
Way of the world.
So, we have a motion to deny the application without prejudice or insufficient supporting data.
Yeah, so moved.
Second?
Second.
And vote?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Throw it out.
I move to adjourn this meeting at whatever time.
8:24.
Second.
So moved. Second.
Vote against unanimous. Thank you. Yeah, wait till I get a phone.